Blog Talk Radio. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Lynn, here at the Helpful Talk. Looks like I'm going to be flying solo this evening. It is still New Year's Day. We're going to talk about stress management. I'm sure everybody has been going through a lot of stuff lately, especially during the holidays. And, well, I know I have, but it seems to be different this year. This year has been slightly less stress, which is kind of odd. Okay, I'll take it back. It's a lot of stress, but the kind of stress that I have this year compared to the previous years were different, definitely. It's more manageable. It's the kind of stress that, I think I can manage. And right now I'm stressing out because I'm by myself, and it might be a very short show tonight because of the fact that most of the time I'll be talking to myself. So if I start asking myself questions and answering them, please let me know, and I'll take myself to a mental hospital or something. But most likely it's going to happen anyway. So let's talk about stress management. There's a lot of people out there really think that there's nothing they can do about stress. I mean, bills will be coming in. They still have responsibilities here and there that needs, you know, not at home, it's also at work, demanding people around them, boss, family members. So what do you do to actually deal with stress? I do some things in my life to decrease my stress. Some people see it as a control freak. I am trying, doing my best to actually not to be too much trolling. So I do a lot of planning. I'm the type of person who does plan A, plan B, plan C. I've never gone more than that usually, but I still want to be able to be flexible with my plans. There are times I'm inflexible, and that creates more stress. And I think that's what's different this year than it has been the past years, because I think I have learned to be more flexible with some of my planning. Although some of my planning can sound very focused, and friends right now are wondering why I'm planning for the end of my life. That's another topic. We'll get to that later. So anyway, stress management. What we need to do, actually, is to find out what's the sources of your stress in your life. You do need to identify the sources, just like I have to speak as a massage therapist. If you are in pain and you have no idea how you got to that condition, most likely you will repeat what happened, whatever that was, because you don't know what it is, and be in pain later or continue the pain longer than it should. Number one that we need to do actually is identify the source of the stress in your life. And I did post a link. That's what I'm going to be reading from and also, you know, paraphrasing. A link that I posted on the Century Health Talk group page. So here they say that to identify the true sources of stress, you have to look closely at your habits, attitude, and excuses. Yes, we make excuses for things that happen. And, of course, because you make excuses, it continues to happen. And what they say here is, actually, it's like a question. Do you explain away stress as temporary? What they have is a quotation that you might have, like a conversation with yourself, saying, I just have a million things going on right now. So that's basically explaining or making an excuse that your stress will go away. Even though you can't remember the last time you took a breather. Yes, I'm kind of that person as well. And again, it's different this year than it was in the previous years because of the fact that I am looking in my life what stresses me out and I stay away or minimize those stressor, the causes of my stress. And they have also listed here, do you define stress as an integral part of your work or home life, such as things are always crazy around here. Another kind of excuse that you tell yourself in your mental recording there. Or is it a part of your personality? You know, stuff like you say to yourself, I have a lot of nervous energy, that's all. These are excuses. And then they have another one here. Is, do you blame your stress on other people or outside events, or view it as entirely normal and unexceptional? I know people like this, actually. I come from a family. You have to understand, Filipinos, when they say family, it's extended family. We're not just talking siblings and parents. We're talking cousins, aunts, uncles, sometimes even family friends, and they become sort of part of the family as well. Let's look at that. Explaining away some stress. And I've, you know, as a massage therapist, I've encountered clients who does that. And then finally, they just, you know, figured out after several weeks, several months, maybe some, you know, a couple of years, that this is not going to go away. And then they come to the office expecting me to fix them. And there are times in which I've helped minimize their stress, their pain, their discomfort, but I haven't, and I cannot say I fix people. They do that themselves. Now, on the second one, the defining stress as an integral part of your work, home life, well, or part of your personality, those are really the hardcore, control freaks, inflexible with their plan, inflexible with their, pretty much, what they think should happen. You're going to have to apologize. I'm still getting over this cold and I put myself on mute just to clear my throat since I'll be the only one talking on this podcast. So, yeah, we're talking about stress management at this time. Anybody who is listening to this live, our guest call-in number is 347-677-0699. Again, that's our guest call-in number is 347-677-0699. And please press 1 so you can be cue to talk to the host. That would be me. If you don't, I might say hi and put you on air and see if you need anything or if you have a question. But if you, you know, I'll just assume that you're actually listening to the show. So on the third one, blaming stress on other people or outside events. I know way too many people that does this. Way too many. I don't know if I could comment on this because it would if anybody knew people I was with, my family members would be listening into this, and I don't necessarily want to point them out. But I'm hoping if they are listening, I'm hoping that they get something out of this podcast. And the website is also saying, until you actually take responsibilities for the role that you play in your life, the creation or the maintenance of the stress in your life, well, if you don't accept responsibility for that, and you're not holding yourself accountable for the choices that you made to lead up to the stress, then your stress level will be maintained, will stay, and will also be outside of your control. And when things are outside of your control, well, it feeds in itself, and your stress level goes up. And just basically go on and on. I think this is the reason why there's a lot of people who are really stressed that would scream and basically easily angered. So the thing is that I, as a person, I do my best to actually not do this. I don't want to spend any money. There are times in which I do that. And it looks like saying talk to you. Anyway. For some reason, now I'm hearing an echo of myself talking. Wow, there's actually a delay now with Skype. This is not a very good connection. Let me come back. We're having slightly a technical difficulty. Let me hang up and call back in a moment here. All right, so I hope I am being heard, and I hope I still have the echo. This is going to do me batty. So anyway, I'm not going to listen to this. I'm just going to keep talking. All right, so let me talk until I guess I have a caller or anything to that effect. I'm just going to keep talking here without listening to the blog. I'm not going to put on the headset because there's a second delay and I'm hearing myself talk, even though I'm hearing myself talk right now. So anyway, going back to stress management, identifying your true sources of stress, and taking responsibility for the role that you play in those, in creating and maintaining the stress. They do suggest that you start a stress journal so that you identify if you're having some difficulty identifying stressors in your life. So that would be a good thing. And most people really have no problem in identifying that the major stress. So it's not a big deal to have a stress journal unless your life is actually full of stress and you just can't identify the main one. Now, to look at coping with stress, you also have to watch what you're doing, how to cope with stress. Is it healthy? Is it not healthy? Here are some of the things that they've listed are the unhealthy ways of coping with stress. Smoking. A lot of people smoke, and that's not good for your lungs, and that's not also good for the people around you. As a non-smoker myself, I do not like having stuff in my lungs, and it smells anyway, so it makes me cough. not good. Drinking too much. Some basically drown their stress or anxieties or depression, and of course they'd be more depressed, which feeds the drinking problem. There's the overeating or the opposite, not eating. Those are very unhealthy. Zoning out for hours in front of the TV or computer. Yes, I've done that. But it's not necessarily, how do you call it? Not for hours, I guess. Unless it's my day off. And I just don't want to do anything because I've had a busy week. And this is my treat for myself. Catching up on TV episodes. That's basically how I do that. And if I'm on the computer, it's usually part work anyway. So that's how I deal with my stress. Here's another one that they have is withdrawing from friends, families, or activities. Some people do that. That's how they deal with their stress, how they cope with it. They're saying, I think, it's unhealthy because of the fact that when you withdraw from friends, families, or your activities, then you alienate yourself, which actually feeds on the stress. There's no outlet to deal with stuff, with, you know, no one to talk to. Using pills or drugs to relax. Well, in my massage business, when you deal with the symptoms by taking pills or drugs, then you're not necessarily dealing with the reason for the stress or dealing with the reason for the pain. See how that works out? So if you're not dealing with the cause of it, when you are out, well, sober after taking the pills or drugs, you become sober, you're still going to have to deal with it. And then you end up medicating yourself. Self-medication is not really all that good. Sleeping too much. Again, looks like the more of the withdrawal, friends, family, and activities. Procrastination. Yes, all people who procrastinate have stressful lives. Some of them just don't want to do anything. Don't want to deal with things. Well, which add on to their stress anyway. So, yeah, procrastination is really not all that healthy. Filling up every minute of the day to avoid facing the problems. Well, yeah, that's escapism, I guess. Escaping your problems, not also healthy. Taking out stress on others, lashing out, angry outbursts, physical violence. Yes, that is healthy. Although there are healthy ways to actually lash out, have an angry outburst, and some physical violence. Of course, it has to be in a safe way, like, well, wearing helmets and stuff like that. We'll probably go into that later on, because the lashing out and angry outburst, I have something to say on that one, and I have a creative way that I deal with my stress with those things. Now, learning healthier ways to manage stress. Well, you have to know enough about yourself, I think, to figure out the best way for you to deal or cope or to de-stress or manage your stress. Not everybody deals with stress the same way. And what works for one person doesn't necessarily mean it works for another. I sing to stress. Karaoke helps. Although not publicly, unless I'm in a party, you know, an event, and they have karaoke, I'm not going to sing just to de-stress, although I like doing karaoke anyway. But on my own, I do like to sing. And that's what I've been doing actually more of this year, I think, in comparison to the previous years, is I play on the guitar a lot more. Singing songs that has a little bit of emotion in there that I can latch on to and just sing my heart out. And like lashing out or angry outburst. It really all depends on the music and the lyrics. And that's how I deal with my stress. They have here on the website as well, that dealing with stressful situations, they have the four A's. Two of them are changing the situation. In the changing of the situation, you avoid the stressor or alter the stressor. Either leave the place that's stressing you out or change that place or how modify things around you in that place that stresses you out, such as maybe your boss. If it's difficult to work there, really difficult, then you can either find another job. That's the avoid the stressor, I guess. And the other one is alter. Talk to your boss. Who knows? Could be sexual harassment. Report the guy. Kind of like taking control, too, of your own life and choices. Making more choices for yourself. The other one is changing your reaction. There's two of them there. It's adapt to the stressor. If it's not bad enough, you probably adapt to it. Who knows? Could be a color code, dressing, dress codes or something like that. And you just like a certain color and you just adapt. It's not too bad. Or accept stressor. There are some strategies that they have here to avoid unnecessary stress. One is learning how to say no. And you think you know how to say no, but most likely not. Everybody wants to please people. And I'm guilty of that, especially if I like that person. Very difficult to say no, but you have to stand your ground. You don't have the time, you say no. Give them a reason. Like, I'd love to, but I can't. Just say no. You have too much on your plate. Avoid people who stress you out. If a coworker that keeps asking you questions and bugging you, avoid them. It would be helpful if you actually talk to them. You know, talk to them, and if it continues, well, yeah, I guess you can avoid them. Take control of your environment. That's basically most of the things that I do. I take control of my environment. That's just probably why I'm self-employed. I am my boss. If I have a client who's a constant no-call, no-show, I learn how to say no. No, you can't have a muscle appointment. I avoid that person by not having an appointment with that person. And I guess that's how I take control of the environment. I am the boss. Avoid hot butt topics. Basically, there are three things that you're not supposed to be talking to with your clients. That's religion, politics. And what was the other one? Religion, politics, and sexuality or sex. Those are the no's. But there are some clients of mine that can have conversations about almost anything, and it's been fun. And it's not stressful at all, because most of my clients are actually wonderful people and open-minded. And the last one that they have here, a strategy for stress management to avoid unnecessary stress, is to pare down your to-do list. So basically, going through your things, your responsibilities, your schedule, tasks that you have to do every single day or weekly, and basically find out which of ones on your list that you should do and the difference between you must do or what the need to or that you want to. Or I guess have to do. What's the difference between need and have to do? But I guess must and should would be the better term. And basically just start dropping tasks that are not really necessary. Maybe prioritize, basically. Or just eliminate something on your list entirely. You don't really have to wash that car right now, do you? Another list that they have for altering the situation for stress management strategy is expressing your feelings instead of bottling them up. I guess talking to a friend, talking to the stressor would probably help out. Be willing to compromise. I've been at all too. You can't get everything that you want, so you're going to have to be willing to meet the person halfway. Be more assertive. I guess that's when you want to say no. And since that's not going to work, this is how I want. Don't basically let the person dictate everything. They have to meet you halfway. Manage your time better. A lot of massage therapists are not very good with time management. I think this is the reason why most massage therapists are known to be not slackers. Now I'm forgetting the word. It'll come to me. But yeah, manage your time better, because it's a lot of stress being late or knowing that you're going to be late, and you're in traffic, and you can't get a hold of your client. Say, hey, I'm on my way. There are times when I have found myself being late because I lost track of time. But I haven't done that too often, because if I did, I don't think I'd still be in business. The strategy for stress management that they have is adapting to the stressor. Reframe problems. So basically, you look at the stressful situation that you're in and look at it in a more positive perspective. A client, here's a good example. There's one time I was just stressed out in the office. I think this was 2-3 years ago. And the client comes in, made an appointment, came in, showed up, gave her the paperwork to fill out. And she said something that made me so angry. She said how messy the room was or whatever it was. And she was right, though. She was right. Since I was so busy, everybody was so busy doing, work stuff and personal stuff, that when this client said this, it hit an angry button, I guess, with me. And how I dealt with it was to start cleaning up. And then, lifting these heavy furnitures practically all by myself, starting to take them apart so I can at least put them through the door. It's one of those corner desks. And so I took them apart, put it in the other room, rearranged things. There was a student there, and my friend, Anna Marie, when she was there, was just looking at me and was like, okay, let's stay away from her. Let her do her thing. And finally, there are just things I couldn't do by myself. I couldn't lift the desk. So I asked for help, and so they just did exactly what I wanted them to do, put it together, and I felt a lot better. Not only that I cleaned up the place, it made me feel better because of the physical exertion I just put myself through. That once I calmed down a bit after all that, I looked at the reception and I'm going, whoa, wow, she's right. It's actually cleaner. Yeah, I'd like to get a massage here too. And I think this prompted when Anna Marie and I decided to redecorate, or actually paint, the reception area in the hallway to a darker, soothing, very warm colors. So that stress situation actually led to something positive when we started looking at it. The next thing they have for the third strategy at adapting to the stressor is to look at bigger picture. So basically take a step back, taking a perspective of this stressful situation, ask yourself how important this will be in the long run. And is it really worth getting upset over? If the answer is no, then focus your time and energy elsewhere. I mean, if you don't get your coffee made correctly at Starbucks, you can either A, go back and say, hey, this tastes awful, could you redo it? Or B, just leave and fume about it. Or C, not be nice about it and fume about it to get a new coffee. I mean, there's so many different ways to deal with it. But I prefer the first one. Say, hey, this doesn't taste right. Can you do something with it? I guess I've learned how to look at stressors in a more positive light. Adjusting your standards, what they have next. And basically, perfectionists need to listen to this. I still consider myself as a perfectionist, and I need to avoid that thought that everything I need to do has to be perfect, because care is human and I am human. Last time I checked. So I will make mistakes. And here's the thing, when you make mistakes, you become better at what you do. Hopefully it's not a major mistake, but you still have to make some mistake. No one does things for the first time perfectly. So yeah, adjust your standards. What is good enough? And just because somebody failed doesn't mean they didn't do it right. Or something. I mean, it could be the condition. And also be reasonable with the standards for yourself and for others. And then here's the last one they have, is focus on the positive. If you're stressing out, is getting you down, then you're going to have to figure something out, because once it takes you to that path, it might be a little difficult to get back out. And this is, I think, where learning about yourself or knowing more about yourself and how to handle things differently comes in mind. So those are things that they have as strategy. Oh, oh, hold on. Oh, they have more strategies. Okay. Number four, stress management strategy number four, accept the things you can't change. They're saying don't try to control the uncontrollable. Look for the upside. Share your feelings and learn to forgive. So it's kind of a rehash of the previous one, but somewhat more of a focus. And then they have number five, make time for fun and relaxation. And that's where I find myself having some issues because I don't make time too much for fun and relaxation. So being self-employed, it's kind of hard to make time, have too much time to do anything fun. So I do the best I can with time I have in between clients' appointment. So I do something fun. I don't know what that might be. It could be a walk around the block, or it could be listening to some music, changing the music in our speakers, the clinic, if we don't have clients, listening to something more upbeat. And stuff like that. So, number five, the making time for fun and relaxation. They say that aside for relaxation time, connect with others. Do something you enjoy every day and keep your sense of humor. Oh, humor is it. Laughing. Laughing is actually the ability to laugh at yourself. It is going to be your number one way of getting out of a stress, just, or at least alleviating your stress. And this is probably why I hang out with some people who are sarcastic. As for me, I can be somewhat sarcastic, but more on the punny side. I do puns. Being Filipino, they're so punny. And if you know, in the Philippines, really there is no F sound in our language. So, you know, punny, funny. Yeah, I know. So they have number six. Six stress management strategy, adopt a healthy lifestyle. Exercise regularly. Eat a healthy diet. Reduce caffeine and sugar. Avoid alcohol, cigarettes, and drugs. Yeah, the self-medicating thing, just basically escaping your situation, your stress level. And the relief is only temporary. You're not dealing with the stress itself. And last but not least, get enough sleep. Especially those students that think that staying awake to study the day before is going to help them retain the information. No, when you're stressed out, information does not stay in your head. I actually did a lot better in massage school. I listened to everything that calmed me, and that was classic guitar music while I studied. And the first two quarters in massage school, we were receiving massages because we were exchanging massages Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So, yeah. We had at least an hour to 2 hours of hands-on. And then a third quarter, somewhere near the end of the third quarter, well, we were giving a lot more massages and getting a lot less. So our stress level went up. But yeah, I actually did very well in massage school because I listen to a lot of very relaxing, but not too weird, ethereal, kind of floaty kind of music. I really enjoyed classical guitar. And that has had, it helped with retention, information retention. Now, that was about 13 years ago. Some I lost because practice makes perfect. And yeah, I need to go relearn all that. So those are the stress management strategies that you have, you know. Again, first you have to identify your stressors, the sources of your stress, and then look at how you currently cope with your stress, and then the how to avoid unnecessary stress, alter the situation, you know, creating the stress, adapt to the stressor, accept the things you can't change, and make time for fun and relaxation. Oh, and adopt a healthy lifestyle would be the last one. Now, there are myths about stress. Myth number one, stress is the same for everybody. No, it is not. There are some people who can get up in front of a large group of people and have no problem talking to them. I do. And that, imagine your listeners to be, or, you know, the people that you're talking to be naked or in their underwear, doesn't help. It doesn't help me. I'm still being stressed out. I was still, this is the third episode on this blog podcast, and I'm still slightly stressed out in the beginning of the podcast, but less so compared to the first episode. I'm learning to handle the stress. I'm learning to alter my view on this by practicing, and although this is the first time I'm actually talking to myself, feels like I'm talking to myself or talking out loud, which I do a lot at home, but not this prolonged. No, not for an hour or so. So yeah, myth number one, stress is the same for everybody. No, it's not. It's not the same at all. Stress is different for each and every one of us. Number two, stress is always bad for you. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. We need a little bit of stress in our life. Odd to say that. I mean, have you guys watched Matrix? I'm a sci-fi fan. And in Matrix, there's a time in which one of those guys, I forgot the name, was always looking for Neo. Gosh, I forgot his name. But anyway, he basically told, is it Neo or the other guy? Sorry, I have bad memory here. That the very first one that they did, supposedly, to keep all these people busy, I guess with their mind, because they're using our body heat and all that stuff, and the energy our body creates as their battery for these robots, computer, virtual reality. They had the perfect world, or they built the perfect world where everybody's whims and wants were taken care of. And they were saying, lost whole batch. All of those people that were plugged in, as they say, lost because they had nothing to live for. Because they got what they want, and I guess this is why some reason some people actually want drama in their life. I like a little drama, but not to the point that it runs my life. And some people, that's what they go for, although they make bad decisions to perpetuate that problem, that stress. And really, exercise is stressing your body physically. And it's good for you. The only thing that's bad for you when it comes to exercise is over-exercising and or exercising in incorrectly. I've seen people at a nearby gym using the row machine with, well, a curved back. They were pulling with their arms and not with their legs. So, man, I was really tempted to pull out my business cards and hand that person a business card to make sure that she does pull a muscle or whatever, that she knows who to call. But I refrained. I didn't want to imply anything in the fact that I don't work there. And anyway, just watching these people do it correctly was painful. Yeah, stress is not always bad for you. Even gravity is a form of stress. And without gravity, our bones won't and our muscles won't be the way they are. They won't be as strong in comparison to the people, to the astronauts hanging out in the Skylab. Once come back to Earth, they can't really stand because they got so used to not using their muscles. And exercise over there in the space lab is very important. So yeah, gravity is a form of stress, and it's good for us. Number three is stress is everywhere, so you can't do anything about it. Well, yes and no, but if you think about it, it's almost like having people knowing that you, as they say here, is a good example. You know, there's a good possibility that every time you get in your car and drive someplace, you know, statistics, they do say that most of your accidents happen within 25 miles from your home radius, 25 miles from your home. So knowing that there is this possibility, the stress of getting into a car wreck, that doesn't keep us from getting in our car and driving anywhere. Or getting on a motorcycle and going anywhere. Or just doing anything outside your home and doing anything without, you know. You can't let stress basically keep you homebound, I guess. Which creates more stress on its own right there, because you're also avoiding people, avoiding family, avoiding activities. Myth number four, the most popular technique for reducing stress, or the best one. No. There is no particular technique, popular or not, is the best way, or, you know, is the best ones to use. As I said, there's certain things people do that can help. I mean, people are just different. You know, the people that bungee jumping is something that they test to see they're alive, an adrenaline high or something, and then they get a go down from that adrenaline high, and that's not me. I'm not looking for adrenaline highs and then get a crash. I've gone through that after a car accident. That was not fun at all. I have a different way of dealing with my stress. And singing, playing the guitar, and videotaping myself, putting it on Facebook. A lot of people will probably say, that would stress me out. To me, it doesn't. It helps me de-stress. Myth number five, no symptoms, no stress. That just doesn't make any sense. It's almost like if somebody's not sick or look like they're sick, they're not sick. I've known some people who didn't know they had cancer until too late because they kept saying, well, I'm not showing a symptom. This is where prevention is very important. Preventative care to stay healthy, to get regular checkups. Same stress. Don't wait until there is symptom, like an ulcer. That's too late. A headache, that's too late. A backache, that's too late. You want to prevent it. And then there are many people who experience symptoms of stress differently. Some are physical. Though most of the stress are psychological, feeling anxious, shortness of breath. By that time, in my opinion, it's too late. The last myth that they have, because, of course, the title of this website that I also posted in the Century Health Talk, the last one that they have is only major symptoms of stress require attention. Well, again, if you're waiting until major symptoms of stress shows up, it's way too late. Heart attack? Well, it might change your mind and be more mindful about how you live your life. But wouldn't you want to avoid having a heart attack in the first place? You would. But then again, there are some people who just need a kick in the butt. A warning, I guess maybe, if it doesn't kill them. Or just to open up their eyes, hey, you need to change the way you live. And some people don't get that message. Which, they have no idea that they also affect so many people around them. People who care about them. So those are the six myths that I found worth talking about. Now, let's talk about ways to creatively lower stress levels. I've been mentioning that the way I deal with my stress is to sing. And that's how I've been doing. Music helps change the way I think. It changes how I feel. Doing the dishes. I hate doing the dishes. But I put on Pandora, start playing some dubstep, electronica music, and sometimes today's hits. And I'm okay. Then I start tapping feet, dance a little bit. I feel happier. And then I do the work with no problem. It's great to actually be in that happy feeling and doing something very constructive. I prefer doing laundry. Actually, I don't need music for that, but the folding part, yeah, I kind of need to get me in the mood to fold, stay in one place and all that stuff. Yeah, music is my choice of drug, if I can call it that. Last episode that we had, we talked about the paying it forward. And in that particular segment, there was one that I found that volunteering or helping others has actually shown in studies to help decrease stress. So a lot of people who volunteer their time, help other people who are in need, give them a hand up, have actually, there's a study, if I can remember correctly, they live about twice longer than those who does not help anybody, I think, or volunteer or help someone in need or something to that effect. Their lifespan actually is not as long as those who give help to those in need. The distraction, actually, when you volunteer, it distracts you from your own problems. So your stress dissipates. So sometimes you simply just need to be distracted in order to forget about your stress that you face every single day. And I think this is the reason why, in my line of work, I have this, I guess, recording in my head that I am helping people. And I like the idea of alleviating from some of their pain. And the smile that I get afterwards, the wide-eyed kind of, whoa, I couldn't turn my head that way before. Thanks. That right in itself gives a little bit of ego boost. And I feel really good. And it just distracts me from my stuff. And volunteering, they're saying that finding a new focus helps. Again, it's kind of a distraction, but if you can focus on something else, they also found that the main reason why volunteering helps to lower stress levels. Focusing on tasks that you have to complete, as well as on the people or animals that might be helping, or listening to their stories, attending to their needs, you can just forget about the stress in life. So something closely related to distraction, but the focus is somebody else. It could be focusing on someone who's also has lost a pet, I don't know, lost a family member, lost their home. And for instance, you've also lost some in a similar manner and you want to help them cope. You're going to be remembering your stuff, your previous experience in that. Being able to help somebody go through something similar that what you went through, it's really a great feeling, actually. Learning lessons of gratitude. Again, the second episode of Paying It Forward, when someone actually is grateful that you have helped them enjoy their life, which makes you forget your own stress. These are people that have helped, and they're grateful for your help, but at the same time, you have to also look at it as being grateful for them for letting you help them and forget about your stress. When you see other people around you who need help and are not able to get the help for themselves, you know, it and then you help them, it just kind of helps cultivate attitude of life's not so bad. There are actually good people around here. The shooting that happened at Newtown, Connecticut. Well, I was so depressed and stressed out when I found that out. To a point that I was really restless. I was anxious. I was losing hope. Went to the credit union to get a deposit for work. And there's this guy, as I was going inside Safeway, because that's where the credit union is, we kind of had eye contact. He was on the other side of the street with a sign up, basically asking for some help. We had eye contact, and he started walking towards me. So I stopped where I was and just kind of like, what? Because he was saying something, and I can hear him. So when he got closer, I said, so what do you want? And he said, I just want a cup of coffee. And I said, okay, come follow me. So as we lined up to get a cup of coffee for him, I asked for his name. We had a short conversation, and I asked him if he hung around Safeway, you know, a lot, or how often he's hanging around there, or whatever. And he said, you know, he's there once in a while. And I said, if you ever see me again, please come and get me. If you're hungry, I'll get you something to eat. And the whole conversation happened, what, in 5 minutes. And then we made the order, got him some cake along with the coffee. And he was very grateful. And I felt so good that I was in smiles after that, talking to the teller at the credit union. It was just that simple. So, yeah, volunteering is something that you can do, to help manage your stress. Another one that I found out was the laughter yoga. Have you ever heard of that one? Laughter yoga. Apparently, a form of yoga that uses self-triggered laughter. I've actually experienced that. That was like 6 or so years ago, maybe. It's a while. And someone from our congregation was a member of this laughter group, and he and another lady basically gave us a sample. And he had us laugh different ways. Ha 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 ha. Ho 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 ho. He 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 he. Tee hee hee. I mean, you just name them. Different ways of laughing, how it sounds. And so we did that, standing up, facing the people talking, the speakers. And then we went around afterwards, after we learned how to laugh properly, I guess. Went around and basically walked to somebody, facing each other, and we started laughing. At first, it felt really strange. Like, what is so funny? This is odd. That's what kept going in my head. wow, we're weird. If somebody walked in here, my goodness, they might, you know, take us to an insane asylum. But after a while, it was just hilarious because everybody was laughing. It became contagious. What I got out of that was I was basically laughing and in tears. I mean, it was so hilarious by the time we were done. And stomach was actually sore the next day. So right there, basically, was great. Laughing at yourself. Being able to laugh at yourself is a great way to relieve stress. I also remember a movie that started out, Helen Hunter, I think, is one of the newsroom. I forgot the title. Again, forgetting things. This is like 10 years ago, over 10, 15 years ago. And I think it was the beginning of the movie in which every morning she forces herself to cry and cry and cry and cry and cry every morning. And then, that whole day, she gets all the crying done that morning. And I guess that's one way also to deal with stress. I'd rather laugh, actually. So, yeah, there are laughter yogas out there. If you went on Meetup, you can probably find a group that you can that's close by that you can join in and check it out. And it is a form of yoga. And if I can actually pronounce this, Hasya yoga. So, yeah, there is a yoga that's for laughing. Laughter, self-triggered laughter. And, yeah, anyway, try it. It's also a form of exercise because of the laughing. If you're doing it correctly, you're using your diaphragm. And a lot of people don't even know how to use their diaphragm breathing. So in this one, you exercise said diaphragm during the laughter. And of course, the exercise. Everybody runs or do some workout and feel great because of the endorphins. And that's part of it. The exercise essentially burns away the chemicals like cortisol and norepinephrine. Did I say that clearly or pronounce it? Norepinephrine. The cause of stress. And after a vigorous exercise anyway, your endorphins gets kicked into the system. So that's kind of like the nice morphine-like hormone that, as I said, the body Valium. So yeah, all you have to do is exercise, and you get that. Runner's high is another one they call it. Yes. So feeling of well-being after a physical exercise helps relieve stress. And that's how you basically benefit from exercising. It needs to be done regularly. Part of a daily routine. But change things up. Once it becomes more daily routine and it's the same over and over again, your body now adapts and it's no longer exercise. So change up a little bit. Now, power of music. I'm going to go back to that one because that's the one that I actually enjoy using more as my way to release us, my creativeness, I guess. But unfortunately, I'm not that creative to make my own music. That's very unfortunate. But I do cover. I listen to music I remember how it felt, how it made me feel. And then I say, oh, I like the lyrics. I like the beat. And then I recreate it. If you are a friend of mine on Facebook, you'll see it posted on my wall, my profile wall. And unfortunately, the way I deal with you know, learning and all that stuff, I'm very quick to learn music. I mean, a song, my guitar. Sometimes it can be as short as 30 minutes. Within an hour, I have it. I'm singing with it while playing the guitar, videotape, posted on Facebook. Sometimes it'll take half a day. Sometimes it'll take several days. And the fact that I don't play my guitar often enough, and the fact that I am a massage therapist and I cannot afford to have calloused fingers, well, yeah, that's the problem. When I do a lot of practicing, playing the guitar, I start, you know, I mean, I don't have calluses in my left fingertips. So it becomes a little bit painful at times, but the endorphins that I get playing and singing and finally getting it is just, it's great. Then I move on to the next song. Unfortunately, I forget that song that I just learned because I'm learning a new song. And I think that's more of why I put it on Facebook. I videotape myself and post. It's also my way of performing. Once you perform it, you move on. That's the power of how I use music to relieve stress. The listening music, see, that was me creating this the vibration within myself when I'm singing, and the beat that I'm strumming the guitar, the percussive movement of my right hand, and the coordinated chording on the left hand, it's relaxing for me. You don't necessarily have to sing. I've also found out through my research that just the screaming or shouting. I know you've done that before. You just kind of scream that way. Just you're so fed up with something, and you just have to get it out. And there's no word for it, so you just grunt, scream kind of thing. That also helps, and that's kind of, I put that part of music because of the fact that you're making sound, making vibration. Sound with your mouth, with your vocal cord. It is very, to me, relaxing. Talking about things can be relaxing. It really all depends on who you're talking with. If they listen, you most likely get things out of chest. If they don't listen, well, not helping. So, for me, I love karaoke when it comes to music. And I've been doing a lot more singing this year, as I said in the beginning of the show. And I feel that my stress level has gone down because I have been singing and I've been videotaping all things I've done, copied music, and posting it on Facebook or text messaging it as an attachment to friends. And I usually ask if anybody wanted to be serenaded, find music to sing and just send it to them. A couple of years ago, what I've done before is not necessarily tape it, but would call several different people and do a live performance on the phone but I can't do it all the time. And the people that I call, they're not usually available when I call them. So it's best. What I'm doing right now works. And basically, I have people to send the video to. Mom, several friends, my sister. My family is rather musical. So, yes, it's great. Another thing that I've been looking into is self-hypnosis. Is basically some imagery that I've been doing to help cope with stress. Instead of focusing on the problem, what I've done is basically imagine what I would do to get out of that problem. You know, basically planning. If I did this, would that alleviate that problem? If I did that, would that alleviate that problem? So, I do this somewhat meditation once in a while, taking deep breaths, and just imagining where I want to go, not where I am right now, which is the problem, but where do I want to go past this problem? How am I going to get past this problem? Sometimes I can't do it. I can't do that. I have to take myself out of the middle of my stress. I can be smack in the middle of it, can't see the door, I can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. And that's really when I start calling friends up and say, hey, can you listen for a moment? Can I use you as a sounding board? If you have an idea, please let me know. Because I want to see something that I can't see. Or if you can see something, let me know so I can see it too. Because right now, I can't see a way out of it. So I do reach out. I do try not to bother other people. So most of the things I do, somewhat by myself. But when it comes to business stress, well, I have to talk to people who are also a self-employed individual and then see if they've had similar situation, how did they deal with it, and see if it's something that I can use. If somebody has already dealt with something similar, I don't want to reinvent the wheel. That would be too stressful for me, trying to figure out how to do something that somebody already have done and succeeded. So my network of friends, professional colleagues or whatever, I also use to help de-stress. And it's more of a question is, how did you deal with it when this happened? And they'll tell me their story. And I'll learn from their mistakes. Make my own mistake. Learn from my mistake. Don't do it again. To improve. There was a picture that I posted on my wall several days ago. Sometime last week. Posting or announcing that the blog talk will happen on the 1st of January of this new year at 8 o'clock, last 7. The picture that I put on there that I found was, it looks like a Kleenex box or, you know, a tissue box, tall box thing. And instead of tissue paper coming out, it was the packing bubble. The bubble wrap. And I was thinking, that was a great idea. But unfortunately, I remember I used to pop them individually, but it took so much time. And I used my fingers way too much in my profession. I don't want to use my thumb all the time just to pop the individual bubble. And what I've done recently is actually wring them, you know, like you're wringing a wet cloth, and pop it like that, and just listen to a pop, 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 pop. I thought that's a creative way of dealing with stress, although it would only be a momentary feel-good thing. It's not going to last too long for me. I don't know. If there's anybody out there who have something to share as far as a different way to deal with your stress levels, please give us a call. Our guest call-in number is 347-677-0699. So, yeah, call in. Press 1 to talk to me and put you online or on the air. And, so I'm going to take a bit of a break here and come back for a little bit. And let's see here. We're going to, my favorite, Al Jarreau. We're going to put Al Jarreau's Boogie Down as our break music. Be right back. And welcome back again. Our live call number is 347-677-0699. And I'm still hearing my echo. This is not good. Anyway, so I'm not going to put the headphones on, but I'll still be talking on mic. There seems to be like a couple of second delay, so hopefully you didn't hear any dead air there after the music. That was Al Jarreau, Boogie Down. So there's about 30 minutes left of the episode, and I was kind of hoping somebody would say something. There's someone on chat and kind of asking who this was, and would like to share your creative ways of dealing with your stress. Give us a call, 347-677-0699 is live in call number. So we were talking about the popping bubbles bubble wrap. I don't know if there's any other other ways to deal with stress that is not usual ways. I mean, yeah, getting massage is one, but that's only one of many ways to do that. I mean, massage in itself cannot help deal with the stress. It has to be something that's going to be ongoing in between massages, because it'll get kind of expensive to be getting a lot of massages just to deal with stress. The exercise, you can do that going downstairs. If you work on the fourth floor or something to that effect, go up and use the stairs. It's great exercise. Instead of using the elevator. I mean, it's an idea. As much as I want to ride my bike, my bicycle, it stresses me out with the other people, the drivers. So that's why I don't use that as a mode of exercise. I'd rather go downstairs, really. I don't necessarily want to see a lot of people or, create a hazard for myself. Especially the fact that a lot of drivers don't even know how to share the lanes with bicyclists. So I just don't want to do that. They'll create more problems for me, really. But one of these days, I'm kind of hoping that I can get back on my bicycle and do that. Motorcycling during the summertime. That was a way to relieve some stress. I had Anna Marie lead with her motorcycle, and I'll just follow. We used to go in the back roads near Inamba area. The problem with that, we found out that some of the things that they've listed on one of those maps for motorcycles, cool, windy places, well, we have no idea how maintained those roads are. There were one occasion in which we tried a road on the map, Anna Marie led. We had Rusty, the host of the Dynamic Dojo, and also the Seika Network person, owner. She was in the middle, and I was back. Thank goodness that Anna Marie, as she made a turn, saw this huge hole in the middle of the road. She missed that one. See, you have to understand that when you're in a group, in a motorcycle group, we do a staggered formation. The leader can take a lane. In that one car width lane, we have three different lanes for motorcycles. You got the left, you got the middle, you got the right. Most of the time, we have the lead on the left. And then, of course, the next one behind her would be on the right side. And then behind that, I'd be on the left of that person. because I was the third one in the back. Well, Anna Marie missed this, barely missed that huge pothole. Then she tried to tell me on the intercom. We have this thing that can only pair up with one other intercom. And it's usually the front and the rear. That would be me and Anna Marie. We had no communication with the person in the middle, which is Rusty. So we all missed that pothole, and barely. But yeah, that was kind of nerve-wracking. But other than that, motor school is awesome. You just have to be aware that how you ride your motorcycle is not the same as how you drive your car. Unfortunately, in order for you to stay alive on a motorcycle, you have to have the mentality that everybody behind a car or behind the wheel of a vehicle out to kill you. I know, it's kind of sad. But motorists, car drivers of full-wheeled vehicles are not looking for a motorcycle. They're looking for other cars. And usually they're looking at you, but they don't see you. And there are actually other people out there that hate motorcyclists. So, yeah. And that's how I deal with my stress. Sometimes I ride the bike. And I guess most of it is mostly activities, like hiking or something like that. But I don't do a lot of that because that takes a lot of time of planning to be out far away from the office if something happens. I seem to be the only one, being the boss, to have things to work at the office. So I have to be available, and I'm usually working 6 days a week anyway. That's hands-on 6 days a week. That doesn't include the time that I think I'm on my off, but I'm actually still working because I'm updating websites, I'm doing scheduling, so on and so forth. But it's not something I have to do sometimes. So that's more things, I guess, that I use to deal with my stress. I can't think of anything else unless somebody actually calls or types up something and share how they deal with stress. I know there's more. There's more out there that I don't know anything about. So I guess most likely I'm going to end the episode. But before I do that, the next one that we have scheduled is with the owner of BeFit Tacoma, Isaac Ho. And we're hoping that it'll be January 15th at 8 p.m. PST, Pacific Standard Time. And we're hoping that he will join us and talk about his business and find out how his business is actually helping people be fit. And my colleague in the office, Aaron, has actually been training with Isaac at BeFit Tacoma. So that's the next one that we have. Again, Century Health Talk is a every other Tuesday at 8 p.m. kind of radio blog talk show. It's not a weekly thing. It's a bi-weekly every other Tuesday. So every 2 weeks on Tuesday at 8 p.m. So hopefully we'll have enough followers during the live show to actually call in, ask questions. So I'll let you know, the next show that we have is January 15th with Isaac Ho, the owner of BeFit Tacoma. So anyway, this is Lynn signing off, and happy new year, everybody, and hopefully you guys are doing well. Be prosperous.